Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, world of outlaws, Arcos, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Not in the Racetime Radio Studio tonight. No, we've traded the Racetime Radio cold studio in for the sun and the sand of Daytona Beach. We come to you live tonight from the Daytona Beach Resort, the Reflections Bar. If you happen to be in the Daytona Beach area, make your way here to Daytona Beach Resort and join us for tonight. Got a great program lined up for you, all live tonight for the next 2 hours. We are going to talk about racing. We're going to talk about the ARCA Series. We're going to talk about the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and, of course, all the happenings at Daytona International Speedway that just happened today. Young Chase Elliott, the youngest driver ever to sit atop of the pole for the Daytona 500. We've got a clip with young Chase a little bit later in the show. We've got a lot coming at you tonight. And joining us right here at Reflections Bar, we've got Nick Monchard, the general manager of GMS Racing. Nick, what's going on today? Look at you go. And you picked up a microphone that is not on. So that's what it is.
How about this one?
That one works.
On this one.
Yeah, there you go.
I took the one you handed me. So
is that right?
Yeah. Way to go. Way to go. Set me up for failure right off the bat.
There you go.
We're just keeping in tune with yesterday, with the microphone not working right away when I got on.
That's right too. Yeah, happened to grab the wrong mic then too.
Oh yeah, of course. Blame me. Blame the guest. Yeah. I see how you are.
Yeah. So big day today at Daytona. We've got the front row set, and I know we'll talk about all of that in a wee while. But you had a busy week so far.
Yeah, definitely big week, big day, busy week, you know, all the above for sure. So, you know, I can't wait to get into the show here and start diving into some of these things.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Also joined with us right here at Reflections Bar at Daytona Beach Resort, we've got a guy that is going to be in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. He is a champion in the ARCA presented by Menards Series for 2015. He won at Daytona last year and the year before that in ARCA. And he hopes to go to Victory Lane on Friday night. We have Grant Enfinger with us. Grant, what's going on, brother?
Man, all is good here. So I appreciate you having me on the show. And, really looking forward to Daytona week. Just got in Daytona a few hours ago and already had some good snow crabs. So, man, we're getting it started off right.
Yeah, you sure are. You just landed literally not, 2 hours ago here at Daytona. We got nice blue sky today. They were calling for rain, but you must have brought the good weather in.
Exactly. So, it looked like all good weather to me. And, you know, everything's looking in a positive light for me right now. So really exciting times. And like I said, just really looking forward to getting on track with this GMS Racing Chevrolet on Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. The truck race under the lights at Daytona. This isn't your first truck race, mind you. You've been around this racetrack. You've had success on it. You know the track, so you know what to expect. How about with a new team and a new truck?
It is a new team, but in certain ways, it's guys I'm familiar with, too. Jeff Stankiewicz, who crew chiefed me last year in a lot of the ARCA races, he'll be on top of the box again for me this year. We actually brought some of our same guys from last year back to work on the truck as well. So there will be some learning, but some of it will be, guys I'm familiar with. So, I'm just really excited to be in top-notch equipment, to have Champion Power Equipment on the truck for Daytona. That just means the world to me.
Yeah, great company. They've been with you for a while. You've had some real good support over your career, and it looks like that is in good standing and going to advance on. I know they got a good driver behind the wheel. You'll give them the right ride. And I know you're just part of the puzzle when we talk GMS. Nick, There is a lot of moving parts to this puzzle, and you guys have made it incredibly interesting come 2016, where we're at right now. You got a lot of new drivers. You got things happening. Bring us up to speed on everything GMS.
Well, definitely a lot of puzzle pieces, and we want to keep everybody on their toes, including you know, sly media guys who try to get at us early before we make any announcements. But we've done a lot of expanding. We've grown a lot. We've built a lot and built on a lot of our past success. So this year we have three full-time Camper World Truck Series entries, the 21, the 23, and the 33 trucks. Johnny Sauter, Spencer Gallagher, Grant Enfinger will all be racing in our truck banners, and we're also going to have a part-time Xfinity team starting up. So, and on top of that, we've been building chassis with Levitt GMS Performance. We've been building our own bodies now. We're pretty much a one-stop house, you know, shop. We provide all those services to people in the sport. You know, we've been pumping chassis out for all sorts of other truck teams, K&N teams, ARCA teams, and we're even going to dabble a little bit in ARCA racing this year and help out a new up-and-comer. You know, Grant and I and a couple other guys are going to go with them and help them. So we're keeping ourselves spread.
Pretty amazing. You know, you go from a brand-new startup team and trying to find out the answers to a lot of questions. Now you're probably the guys that people turn to ask questions of, and that's got to be cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of people who I don't want to say doubted us, but, you know, they were like, whoa, you guys are taking on a lot, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And, you know, we did it right. We did it slow. We did it one little piece at a time. And you started off in K&N, moved up to ARCA, moved up to trucks, and, you know, now up into the Xfinity Series. And, you know, along the way, we've proven ourselves at every level. We haven't just moved because we wanted to move. We haven't just moved because we got bored or anything like that. You know, we have 9 ARCA wins. We have an ARCA championship under our belt. We have a truck win already, and, you know, we're ready to go after even more truck wins this year, truck championship, and then, you know, hopefully start working on getting some Xfinity wins lined up, and hopefully one day in a couple of years get Xfinity championship and just keep building from there.
Yeah, and I can see you guys doing it probably a lot quicker than what everyone would expect. I know the progression from really the time that I met you till today, to me it doesn't seem like a long time. Maybe to you, the guy
like
on the other side working it, seems like it's taken you a while to get there. But, man, you're doing such a good job putting all those pieces together. It's got to be tough, and at this time of the year, we get to Daytona. The slate is totally clean for every driver, for every team. It's the brand-new season, a brand-new start. How important is it as a team, as a general manager, to get that perfect start out of the gate here at Daytona?
Well, it's not so much about getting the perfect start at the race. It's about getting that perfect start to the race. You know, we want to be 100% ready when we get to the track. We want to have everything done down to the last decal. You know, your fire suits, your helmets, you name it, we want it done. We want every truck done. We want to be prepared for Atlanta after Daytona. You know, Daytona is amazing. It's Daytona. Everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to win there. But it's Daytona. So, the same token, anything can happen. We've seen it time and time again. We saw it last night in the Unlimited race. We saw it in the ARCA race before that. You know, it's Daytona. Anything can happen. So, it's happened to us before. So, our real focus is to get here and to try to leave in one piece, try to leave with top five, and then get to Atlanta the week after, you know, because it's an intermediate race. It's a little more in our control, a little more in our destiny there. But that sets us up. You know, those first two races set you up for the next 21 races throughout the year. So you need to start strong.
We got a new format this year in trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. Man, there's so many changes to talk about in all three. But I guess the most interesting and the most pressing changes of point, if you will, with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is we're going to have to deal with now a caution clock, where they're going to hit the button, the green flag is going to come out, the caution clock is going to start, and in 20 minutes, that flag is going to turn to yellow no matter what. What does that do to the team? What are your thoughts on that? First you, Nick, and then I'm going to ask you, Grant.
I'd like to see what Grant's response to this is going to be, honestly. I think it'll be pretty interesting. But from a team, you know, aspect, on one side of the coin, it's great. You know, we get to places where things get real spread out. You know, we're real single file, and the aero package, you know, plays a big role. And, you know, we want to see it get bunched up. We want to see that chance for the pit stop and to work on the trucks and get new tires, so on and so forth. But then on the other side of that coin, we're going to Daytona and Martinsville and places like that. And, boy, I don't want to bunch them up anymore. Where we got after the 10 or 12, you know, green flag laps, that's where we want to be for right now. You know, we want to get out of there one piece. So It's going to make it very interesting. I think the fans will probably love it. And I think it's going to make our crew chiefs probably need to get a prescription to Rogaine because they're going to be pulling all their hair out. But, you know, that's on them.
You ain't got much left to pull out.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah,
good thing
we're
on radio.
We're also with Grant Enfinger tonight, driver of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, brand new team with Grant Enfinger. He's going to be with GMS this year. Grant, what do you think of the caution clock idea? Have you thought about it much, or is it just one of those things you got to deal with?
You know, it's one of those things you got to deal with, but I'm kind of excited about it. You know, as far as tuning the truck with the driver and the crew chief during practice, we kind of know where to set that limit. You know, do we need to be good on really long runs? Well, no, not necessarily anymore. When we were testing actually at Atlanta a couple weeks ago, we really weren't worried about, you know, making green flag pit stops or having that real long run that you normally have there. So it's definitely going to be a different aspect. But, you know, I'm not opposed to it. I think it's going to be kind of fun.
Has history shown us anything when it comes time for the good years and the tire drop-off? We now get a caution every 20 minutes. Whether we will like it or not, we're going to have a caution there. Is that going to be like a window where, you know, the tires after 20 minutes of racing, are the good is starting to come out of them? You're going to pick up speed if you pick up new rubber. Is that a thought, or are the tires last long enough where you don't have to worry about that on tire drop-off in 20 minutes?
It really just depends on the track. Like here at Daytona, tires aren't gonna make your break your day here, but fuel will. So you got to dictate that with the way the cautions are going to come out. But like the following week at Atlanta, that's going to be huge, and you don't have enough tires in the truck series to pit every time a caution comes out. So like Nick said, that's definitely going to play havoc on the crew chiefs. I'm definitely glad I don't have to make those decisions.
Have you had any time to sit down with Spence and with Johnny Sauter and talk about some of this stuff? Have you guys had any bonding time, so to speak?
Definitely. So I've definitely picked both of their brains a good bit. Both of them happen to be at the test with us a little while back there at Atlanta. So trying to learn all I can, and I definitely got some great teammates, and I'm really, really excited about this year.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. With some of the other changes, of course, announced just a couple of weeks ago, we're going to have a chase-style format to the trucks and to the Xfinity Series. We're not going to have 10 guys or 12 guys in the chase to kick it off. It's going to come down to the top seven. What do you think about that, Nick? Is that something that excites you, or do you like the old traditional style points that, you know, you do good at Daytona, you do good at every one of them, and you're in it? What do you think?
Well, the traditionalist in me would say, hey, you know, let's keep to our roots. But we did that last year with Grant and Arca, so let's try this new format now. We did one the old way. Let's do one the new way. But I think it's good for the series. You know, it adds more excitement.
Okay, not exactly quite sure. Oh, okay.
Sorry
about that, yeah. We just got some audio back down the line, actually, and that's what sort of blew my mind. Go ahead, sorry, bud.
That's a nice little break there.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, I think it's just a new level of excitement. It's something different. The fans, I think, are really going to wrap around it, and it gives them something when we go into, you know, the homesteads and the latter part of the year where, you know, they have three or four different people. They've proven that it works in the Cup Series. You know, it didn't get off to the best start, but then the last couple of years it's been phenomenal for them, and you know, it's come down to that last race, it's come down to that last win to a point here, a point there. So I think from our aspect it'll be fun. I think as long as Grant, Johnny, and Spencer go out and win one of the first three, hey, if each one of them takes one, we'll be good. We'll just coast the rest of the year.
Yeah, and that is true, right? It's the same as the Cup Series from that aspect. If you get a win, you are in, right?
Absolutely. You get a win, you are in, locks you in. So like I said, if we'll get Grant to go get Daytona, we'll get Spence to get Atlanta, we'll get Johnny to get Martinsville, and we'll be good.
Now, are those the tracks that you sort of got laid out for the three drivers? We know that Grant is good at Daytona with two wins in the ARCA Series right here at Daytona. Spencer is also wicked quick. And you got to look at him for Daytona as well, and same with Johnny Sauter. But Sauter, he's got one of those big clocks that, you know, they hand out at Martinsville. He's got a couple of them,
Clock. He's got the Daytona win as well. So
right.
I think, you know, going into Daytona next week, all three of our trucks are going to be very capable of winning that race. You know, we've proven the last 2 years that our Super Speedway package is on point. You know, Spencer has had the chance to win Daytona. He's had the chance to win Talladega twice. You know, he's been up front. You've seen him. You know, he's got no fear. So I think you add in not one teammate like we had last year, but now you got two teammates with Grant and Johnny. You know, there be a trifecta out there, and you go into Atlanta, and it's an intermediate paradise. Spencer loves those races. He loves to be on the rails and go as fast as he can. And, you know, and Grant proved in the ARCA car that he could do the same thing, and we already know, you know, Johnny's gone sideways down the backstretch of Kansas with another truck before and pulled out of it. So, and then you go into the short tracks, and that's where all three of them cut their teeth. That's where Grant got, you know, five wins last year in the ARCA series. So it's bring it on. You know, I feel like all three of our drivers are more than capable of winning any of those three races and then some throughout the year, and they all have that diverse background that allows them to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible to see these three teammates go at it. It's going to be incredible to see the trucks back on Daytona International Speedway. The next Era 250 comes up on Friday night under the lights. You want to get your tickets to that truck race. If you haven't got them yet, you're going to want to. When do you guys hit the track, Grant, where you can start testing those trucks and getting some laps in?
Thursday afternoon. So the crews, everybody gets in Wednesday afternoon for tech, and then we get on track for two practices on Thursday, and then it's just qualifying in the race on Friday evening.
Do you get a lot of information from those practice sessions? Are they something that you're itching to get to, or have you pretty well got your numbers and you just sort of want to find out how the truck is going to draft?
You know, Daytona and Talladega is a good bit different than everywhere else that we race. So pretty much if you unload good, you're going to be good. And if you unload bad, you're going to be bad. But like Nick was alluding to earlier, GMS has a really, really good speedway package for these trucks. And, you know, I expect nothing different than all three of these trucks to be able to qualify in the top 10 and race really competitively all night on Friday night.
Well, we're going to find out come Wednesday what rolls out of some of these haulers. But I'll tell you what. We are going to step out, take a quick break here on Racetime Radio, live from Daytona Beach Resort at the Reflections Bar. If you're listening to us driving down the road right now, you're out by the racetrack, come on out to Reflections Bar right here at the Daytona Beach Resort. You can join Nick and I and Grant and a bunch of other people. We're going to slide around and see if we can talk to some of these other people that are in the bar. We'll find out where people are from, of course. Probably big race fans. We'll find out who they're going for. All that and more. We still have tons to come here tonight. So glad you could tune in. Stay with us. We will be back live from Daytona Beach.
Coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Just imagine an app that has all your favorite features and functions in your social media networks without the rules and regulations that apply. It gives you a secure environment to communicate, to send messages, pictures, video, and live streaming. The Connects to Share mobile app is all that and more. The Connects to Share mobile app is custom designed for iPhone and Android and allows you to integrate your social media networks. The future is in your hands. Download Connects to Share.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. There's rednecks everywhere you go. How many rednecks we have here?
Sirius XM's Blue Collar Radio.
Somebody said one time, you took this word from being an insult into kind of a badge of honor.
You might be a redneck.
And it's hilarious.
When people come backstage and they're like, oh my God, you've been in our house.
My bosom swells with pride. My eyes are moist with tears.
You might be a redneck.
And you've got a hole in both your socks, so welcome to Blue Collar.
Sirius XM 97.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our flames rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
All right, buddy, I'm a safe one.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. London Recreational, enjoy life to the fullest at home in your own paradise. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life.
Racetime Radio. Only on Sirius XM 167. We get you closer. From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
Hey, shake it back, Cal. Woo, shake it back.
And here on Racetime Radio.
What are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Oh, I don't know. Play chess? Screw.
Well, let's play chess.
Welcome back, everybody. Live tonight from the Daytona Beach Resort in Daytona Beach. Reflections Bar and Grill. Great food at this place. We're having a lot of fun. We got some people circulating in. Got to tell you, for our Pro Stock Tour fans out on the East Coast of Canada, we've got Jim Hallahan in the house here. So we're going to talk to Jim Hallahan a little bit later. I can guarantee you that. He's got lots of stories. Jim, involved with the Parts for Trucks Tour out in Nova Scotia, drives pace car from now and then. He probably doesn't do it anymore, but picked me up at the airport one time when we were out there doing a live broadcast out on the East Coast of Canada. Can't wait to get back there. We've got six races coming up, live flag to flag, including the IWK 250. That's one you got to put on your bucket list, Grant Enfinger, the IWK 250. You come out there and win that one, that's the one, and you probably heard about it. We've had Brad Keselowski out there, finished third. Joey Logano, finished third. And Regan Smith, the only guy that went out there and won the IWK 250. That's a current cup guy. But you know what, Grant? You'd fit right in there like a glove. Austin Terrio was out there in his late model the year that Brad was out. I think he finished fifth and then went on to the Oxford 250 and got a fifth there, too. So tough race to win. A lot of good cars. You'd fit in like a glove. All you got to do is get a car and get up there.
Yeah, I was about to say, get me hooked up with a car and I'll be there.
Well, be there in a heartbeat.
Okay, Nick, that is your department.
Well, we do have a lot of guys on our team that are from up north there in Maine and New Hampshire, and I think we even got one from Canada. So I think we could probably put something together.
Well, you're going to have to take a look at it. July the 16th, if you're out there listening, mark it on your calendar. The IWK 250 is a race not to be missed. And the Cat 250, too, at Scotia Speed World. All of those Parts for Trucks Tour races are dynamite. We're going to do six of them live. We're also going to do a live race from Eastbound Park. Have you heard of Eastbound Park out in Newfoundland?
Sure.
Have you?
No.
You haven't. It's a new track. It's only a couple years old, and I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful speedway. Josh Collins, we see him out at New Smyrna. He's out there racing tonight, probably. Well, he won't be tonight because it's a K&M race. But Josh runs the number 56. It is a big race. The Edward Collins 125. We're going to do it live for the first time ever, all the way out in Newfoundland. I can't wait for that race. Coming up August the 27th. But let's talk about Daytona and what we've got in front of us. Last night, let's start with the ARCA race, guys. What a race. We've seen everything in this race, Nick. We've seen some wrecking. We've seen some big-time wrecking. We've seen some side-by-side racing, and we got a winner at the end.
We even had a guy run across the track.
We did. What did you think of the race?
I thought the race was great, but then again, I was on the roof, so I was only watching one car.
Yeah, you were spotting for the 48,
I was spotting for the 48 of Sean Corr, Empire Racing. So it was kind of hard to get the gist of everything going on, but for the most part, Sean was actually up front, did a phenomenal job, so I got to catch a lot of it. But the race in as a whole, and I got to watch the replay this morning, was what I thought was a really good race. There was a ton of side-by-side racing for a really long period of time. And, you know, that's just a product of that new Elmore motor package that they brought in last year. And just the level of competition and the, you know, the level of competition as the car-wise, as the tech officials have now brought everything, you know, within such a fine tolerance that you can't go out there and just have crazy one-off cars, crazy one-off races. And, you know, I had a little bit of everything. And it had John Westonley earned his second career ARCA win. And, you know, it was a good finish.
Yeah, Grant Enfinger along with us tonight live here at the Daytona Beach Resort. You know what it's like to win at Daytona. You did it 2 years in a row, 2014, 2015, in that same ARCA race that we seen last night. John Westonley goes to victory lane. You know what that feels like? I know what it feels like to be in victory lane. I was there with you for one of them. It's a big deal, isn't it, Grant?
There's no better feeling than crossing under the start-finish line there at Daytona to take the checkered flag. So that's definitely one of the highlights of my career there, that, like you mentioned, the last couple of years. But I was able to, for the first time in a while, watch ARCA race live from home on the TV. So I thought it was a good race. You know, unfortunate there was a wreck there right at the beginning that probably took out a good handful of really competitive cars. But overall, I thought it was a good race. I think the Elmore package has helped the Super Speedway racing, but it's really helped the entire series. You know, the ARCA series has become stronger with the ARCA Elmore 396 there, and I think it will become even stronger yet as the years come.
You know, if we were at the studio now, I'd be able to go back in and pull out some of the clips from years ago, and I can remember standing in that garage right beside the Hoosier tire guys, and you had a beautifully prepared number 90, and you went out, the car was incredibly quick, and man, it was a 99-cent piece that broke. You gave in, and you were out of the race after, I don't know how many laps you did, I can't remember, it was only a few though, and you were in there. It happens when you're on that racetrack. You can get tied up in the big one, you can have a 99-cent piece break, or you could, you know, use up the whole car. Anything can happen when you're at Daytona.
You never know. You know, Daytona, the first 4 or 5 years I came here was always pretty rough on me. The last couple of years, it's been doing a good job of making up for some of that. So hopefully this year is no different, and we can get started off on the right foot here at Daytona with the number 33 Chevrolet.
Well, you were on the roof, and Grant, you were at home watching the ARCA race. I was down getting ready for those top five cars at the end of the race, and I happened to be lucky enough to catch up with four of the top five. Don't have John West. They whisked him away to the media center, but I wanted to get the other guys, and I would try and catch up with John West a little bit later. Haven't done that yet, but I did catch up with Frank Kimmel, 9-time ARCA presented by Menards champion. Guy knows what he's doing. He ended up finishing fifth at Daytona. Still hasn't got that win, but he did have a fifth-place finish last night. Caught up with him. Here's what he had to say. With Frank Kimmel in the 46. Frank, Daytona, and men, top five finish for you. Good run.
Yeah, it really was a great day for us. You know, we had car didn't have a lot of speed in it, but ran really well, drafted good, drove good, and Kelly and Dave did some great job, made a good, you know, great pit strategy, got us back up there, and just drove real hard all day long, and took advantage of every slip everybody else had, you know, that did, and got a great push by the 22 there in the last lap, and you know, they got us 3 or 4 spots, and we was hanging on, so it was a good day for us.
These cars always race different than they qualify, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's the race. It's not so much the cars. I think when you get all that traffic out there, things start moving around, the air really starts moving, and a weaker car can be competitive, and you know, that's what we had today, and sometimes that's what you got to do, and you know, it was pretty cool. Great to have these juice batteries on board.
Can fans look forward to seeing you all season long this year?
Yeah, I think so. We're working really hard, and you know, John and Ashley Stang, the owners, you know, told me we're going to do it all year long, so that was a great start for us, and hopefully we'll get our short track and intermediate program going and go after them.
Tell you what, Frank Kimmel had a big smile on his face, and Frank's always a happy, kind of go lucky guy when things go half decent for him. It was good to see Frank have a good run with a new race team. That's pretty tough to do, even though you got a crafty veteran. When it's a new team, a new formula, sometimes it takes a little while to bond. They got a top five right out of the box.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody had their eyes on him when they unloaded. You know, they're like, oh, Frank's back. You know, watch out for Frank. It didn't matter what he unloaded in or who he unloaded with. Frank was back. You know, 10-time champion, 80 ARCA wins, and hungry as ever to win a Daytona because he still hasn't done it. So, you know, Frank was back. But they made that announcement last week that he was going to be there full-time. He's got the new sponsorship there, and it's going to be really interesting. It's good to see him. Believe that this is going to be his last year. He's kind of made that, you know, common knowledge to everybody. So he's going to be out with vengeance to definitely get him a couple wins, and I think they'll be really strong towards the latter part of the year.
Yeah, good to see him out. You've had some times with Frank. Have you? Did you ever turn to him when you were a young guy starting out in ARCA? Did you ever turn to Frank Kimmel for any kind of direction or help?
Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for Frank, and I definitely did lean on him a lot the first couple of years, especially when I was starting out my career in the ARCA series, and he was always there to help. So I was definitely glad to see he's kind of getting him a full farewell tour. And, you know, to start out with a fifth-place finish, I think that's exactly what that team needed because from the sounds of things, everything came together kind of late. So now they got a little bit of time, though. The series takes a break, so they got some time to prepare for the short tracks coming up.
You know, I caught up with the fourth-place finisher, too, Chase Briscoe, in the 77. Here's what he had to say. With Chase Briscoe down the 77, not a bad run. Daytona, race number one. Look at this, top five finish.
Yeah, you know, definitely going to be happy with that. And it's a good points day. You know, we're going for the championship this year. So definitely a good points day overall. But, you know, definitely want to win, especially your first time at Daytona. So it's tough to swallow. You know, we were supposed to start third, and they sent us to the back for some reason. I'm not even sure. So it really felt like that would have changed our whole day. And Chad Bryan, all the guys, definitely got a good car. We got a little bit of damage early, which I think really helped. Hurt us, but definitely just can't thank Briggs County AM Carry Share enough. You know, definitely blessed, and never thought I'd even be here.
Take us back through the race. There was it was an eventful start and middle, but towards the end, you guys really got it going.
Yeah, you know, we really couldn't suck up like we needed to just because of the damage, and we were really close on fuel, so we really had to save it a lot. But overall, like I said, good day, and didn't even honestly think we were going to make it to the end, so definitely just happy that that happened.
Just a couple little battle marks on it, nothing major.
Yeah, for a short track, you know, that wouldn't be too bad, but when you're going 190, it definitely hurts it a little bit, but you know, hopefully we'll get it fixed back up, and hopefully we'll be able to run this thing at Talladega and improve three spots.
Coming home third in the race, the number 58 of Kyle Weatherman. Great race for him. Kyle Weatherman now. Kyle, what a race out there. Take us through that one.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know, there was a lot of wrecks that we had to dodge. We actually just about missed both of them. Well, actually, I take that back. We did miss both of them. We just about got collected in both of them. So that was really close there. You know, from starting from 32nd all the way up to third, you know, that's really good. So I can't thank Lara Motorsports enough. You know, my family, Freshwater, St. Charles Glass. Without those guys, I wouldn't be here. So, you know, just got to get my hats off to them guys and you know, appreciate everything Lara Motorsports has done for me.
What's the plan for the rest of the season? You get kick it off right at Daytona. What's the plan?
Yes, sir. You know, we plan on running all of them. So, you know, that's what we're doing. And, you know, we'll see what comes up of it. But right now the plan is to run the full season for sure.
Well, you got a hell of a start. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, he did have a wicked start. The 58, nice and quick in that race. What did you see from TV, Grant, watching it? Did you think that maybe Kyle was going to pull off the win?
I thought he had a shot at it, you know, and because the racing has gotten a lot better with the M4 engines, there was some moves being made. But really, Townley probably had the best car out there. And when he's leading with the best car, it makes it hard for other guys to team up and make a move. But really proud of Kyle there and his crew chief, Sam Schramm. I've worked with him for quite a while. So good to see them have some success. And I think they'll definitely be championship contenders.
And yeah, they overcame a lot of adversity. I mean, I don't know if you were there or – and they might not even have talked about it, but they blew that motor, and they didn't have another motor.
No, they didn't?
They had to find another ARCA Ilmor motor. They actually had to go to Ilmor and to get another motor, put it in, and they missed qualifying. And the same thing happened to 55. The 55 just barely got out onto the grid, the Venturini car, for qualifying. So for both those cars, you know, honestly, to have all that trouble there at the end of practice and then to go back there and finish good, that was a really strong testament to those drivers and those crews.
I was surprised. I seen the 25 of Tom Hesser driving for Venturini this year. seen him right up there. He was, you know, flirting with the top three. He was up in there for quite a while. He faded back. He made it back up there. And then I don't quite know what happened to Tom Hessert after that.
He was part of, you know, because we were drafting him with him at the 48. We were right behind him. And he was part of the early pit stop there. He ended up dropping off, went and got fuel. And then he came back out. He drafted a little bit. I think somebody side-drafted him.
He cut a right rear
cut a tire.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it was?
It looked like he may have gotten a little too close to someone because, you know, he and the 05, Townley, were right in front of us for a long time. It's probably 15, 20 laps. And Townley did a phenomenal job side drafting and just kept side drafting to 25. We'd get a big run, and all of a sudden there'd be a huge gap would be caused because Townley would side draft him. And it was kind of neat because after, you know, everything started cycling through and Sean was racing side by side with Townley, all of a sudden, you know, Sean's being side drafted by Townley. I said, hey, you watched this for 20 laps a little bit ago. Use what you learned. And then you see Sean, you know, combating that. And it would cut down on the big gap that would be caused and the drag it would be caused. So it's really fun because these, you know, a lot of these guys are just kids. They don't, you know, they haven't done this a lot. But you get people like Townley and Core and Hessert who've been there and done this, and you know, they know what they're doing and they're racing side by side and racing for everything they got because it's Daytona.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah yeah. And the 55 car ended up this race in second. William Byron did a fantastic job. Got a quick word with William.
William Byron, wow, what a race out here today at Daytona. Great run.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I would have liked to see us be able to make a run there at the end, but just didn't have the help, and we just kind of the pack kind of faded late. So it was fine, though. I learned a lot, and, you know, learned some pit stops and stuff like that. So it's definitely a mission accomplished.
What was it like running with this race team? Yeah. Man, you guys had a good time out there. It was a great race.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I don't know what it was like from the stands, but, you know, hopefully it was a good show for the fans because we definitely tried our hardest and definitely wanted to make it interesting there at the end. But felt like the mid portion of the race when it was three wide where I was like, man, just got to ride it out until we get a pit stop. So it was good.
His eyes would have been wide open watching these guys three wide, and you're in it.
Oh, yeah, he was right there. I thought there for the longest time at the end. It was 55 or the 58. They were going to charge, you know, mount a charge and go to the front. But, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't make it work. But it was a great, great end of the race. And he did a phenomenal job as being a rookie and a rookie on a big track, nonetheless. You know, he's got a little bit of experience here and there, and he's done a phenomenal job in the K&N stuff. But this was really his first big jump into the Daytona deal, and I think he really handled it well.
If you're just tuned into Race Time Radio tonight, we're live from the Daytona Beach Resort. It is Reflections Bar. If you're out driving around, come on in and join us. We got Grant Enfinger going to drive in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. The race is coming up on Friday. We got Nick, and we've got a bunch of people in the bar that we're going to catch up with here shortly. We're talking about the ARCA race that took place last night. Got a quick word with the number 48 that Nick, you spotted for. Got a quick word with Sean Core. Here he is.
Okay, with Sean Core now, driver of the 48 Empire. Man, you just about did it. You were right up there.
I'm so this car makes me look good. It really does. This car is such an animal. It should be a winning car, and this is 2 years in a row we've had engine problems with the new Elmore engine. And last year we melted a spark plug wire right in half, number 6 spark plug wire. This year it just shut off. All lost all my gauges, everything. Then they came back on, then they went off, and I'm gonna guess we probably overheated the ECU or something, and it put itself into a fail safe because it just shut right down. And after the guys, I brought it in on pit road. The guys unplugged the ECU and then plugged it back in, and it refired. So
computers, you gotta love them.
I'd kill for a carburetor right now.
I wouldn't doubt it. But tell me, this doesn't keep you fired up to come back here to Daytona and take another swing at it? You are a winner. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, I love this car. Which I the rumor is that this is the last year for these older steel bodies. And I honestly, I don't have the heart to cut this one up to put a new body on it. So she'll go home after they finally put the axe on these steel bodies. She's going to go home and she's going to be a show car, I guess, because I just don't have a heart. She's been so good to me to cut her apart.
When's your next race? When can fans look forward to seeing Sean Core back in a car?
We're 90% sure we're going to Talladega right now, and I really hope we do, because I'd love to have another shot at this. I really would, and I'm so certain this car is a winning car, if not a top five car. It's always up there. It's always running good, and I'm so proud of the car. I'm so proud of my team. All my guys at Empire Racing did one heck of a job today. They really did. They busted their chops all weekend. We've been fast. We were fast in practice. So I got to thank Nesco Bus and Truck Sales out of Long Island for just really supporting me. They helped us out to get here, and I can't thank my Empire Racing guys enough, and I mean our Trans Group guys that came on last minute to Trans Group Bus out of Warwick, New York. Everybody helped us get here, and I'm hoping that I didn't let them down, and I really hope they see that we put our best foot forward.
I'll tell you what, he was pretty dejected when I was talking to him. You could hear by the interview he was just speechless because he had such a fast car.
He had an extremely fast car, and it sucked up well, and you know, it pushed well. It did everything that you want out of a super speedway ARCA car, and it was very dejecting. It was very heartbreaking, especially to watch it from, you know, my 40,000 foot view there up on top, and to get him clear from all those guys that were going 3-4 wide around him because we had no power. But you know, that's like I told him on the radio, you know, it was a great day. The car's still in one piece. You know, we learned from it. We learned a lot. We got back out there, and he actually got to draft a little bit one-on-one with his teammate. He got to draft around the big draft, kind of catching it. And so, you know, the team as a whole, Sean and his teammate Dylan Lupton, they picked up a lot just by doing that. You know, it sucks. You don't want to be there. You don't want to do that. But, you know, you turned it into a positive is what I told him. And, you know, put it in the memory bank. You know, we had Grant and I and GMS Racing and our ARCA team last year. We had plenty of, you know, things we put in our memory bank that we didn't want to put in our memory bank. But, you know, it helped out. And it helped out in situations like yesterday when Sean pulled it in pit road. You know, I started rattling off 15 different things that, you know, scenarios that we've been through, that we've seen, that we knew. And, you know, it ended up, you know, I think fixing it in the long run. But I think he'll be back strong, you know, and I think the Talladega race will be just as good as Daytona race for everybody.
We had three Canadians in the race yesterday. The number two, Sarah Cornacheng. We had the 30 of Terry Jones, and we had the number 78 of Cole Powell. Unfortunately, Cole got tied up right off the beginning of the race, was a couple laps in, got tapped coming through the tri-oval. Did you see that on the tube? How did you see it?
And wrecked right into his teammate. That was
horrible.
Was pretty bad right there. You know, that's just guys pushing early. And in all honesty, the tri-oval is where a lot of wrecks happen. The car gets really light. Right through there, the cars are actually loaded up better and safer to push, I feel like, in the corners than they are in the straightaways and in the tri-oval. So that's why you see a lot of those wrecks happen there. But, yeah, just an unfortunate accident and guys getting a little aggressive a little too early.
Well, I can tell you, Cole was definitely beside himself when I seen him at the racetrack last night after that big wreck. The car was tore to pieces. But I did catch up with Sarah Cornacheng, got a quick word with her. Want to play it for you now, and then we'll move on from ARCA. We'll start talking about some other stuff that took place at Daytona.
Okay, with Sarah Cornacheng now. Sarah coming off, man, it looked pretty promising out there with the two car. What happened?
Oh, man, our car was amazing. These guys worked so hard these past couple of weeks. We prepared three cars, a NASCAR K&N car, this car, and a super late model, and I can't say enough about the way it was driving. I honestly feel like if we would have got out, we could have drove right to the front and, you know, still finished 11th. It's very bittersweet because the Ilmor motor that we run, once again, did not run. So very, very frustrating. Not sure what to say about it. We cannot get away from Ilmor problems. And I guess more than anything, I'm excited to go over to the NASCAR K&N Series where we've got motors that will run for a whole race.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to be doing Sunday night. Now, while you're doing that, we're going to be live from the Daytona Beach Resort on Sirius XM, and I know you're really looking forward to that. You did some testing today with that car. How is the K&N car?
Yeah, I think we started out too snug for the racetrack. We weren't that far off when we left, and I think I started taping up and making qualifying runs because when I just looked at the times there, they were quite a bit quicker. So excited to get back tomorrow. We've made quite a few changes to help the car rotate a little bit better. I'm excited. I think that We've got a great shot at a really good race, top 10, top 5 car. And once again, my guys work so hard. You know, there's not very many of them, and we've had so many cars here to work on, and they don't stop. So thank you to them. Thank you to Tony, my spotter, Bug Band that was on the car this week. They make a really cool little bracelet that they got some that glow in the dark, keep the bugs away. So
you have come so far in such a short period of time. It's got to be like a whirlwind for you.
It is. It's kind of strange to think that last year I was so nervous to be here, I didn't even know which shoes to put my feet on, feet to put my shoes on, pardon me. And now this year, I'm so calm and relaxed in the car that I feel like I can actually make runs and talk to my spotter and watch in the mirror. And, you know, something like this is just really disheartening.
I got a funny feeling we're going to hear a lot about you this year. Full season, NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East. And we may see you doing some other select stuff. Can you tip your hand to anything that else that fans can maybe look forward to?
Yeah, you know, we had planned to run a few more ARCA races, but the way this motor thing is going, I can't see it happening. I see us maybe doing something a little higher up. Let's just say that.
Okay, we'll have to stay tuned, and when something is developing, you'll let us know, and we'll get you on the air, and we'll definitely talk to you about it. And congratulations on what was going to be a really good run for you here tonight. Good luck in the K&N race at New Smyrna, and I know we'll hear lots from you throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be on Twitter at @scornetching and Facebook, www.facebook.com/SCCRacing.
Yeah, young lady was a little bit hot at the end of that race. Kind of heartbroken out there, doing a good job. Watched the pylon. I was sort of in the background, and I was watching the pylon. Pretty tough to watch race from the infield. You were lucky enough from being up top. You could have really seen it. But I was watching the pylon, trying to watch the two, and to see how Sarah was making out. She was back in the field, seeing her starting to come. She got right up to seventh. It was looking good on the outside, and then she started to fade back again.
She did do a really good job, and you know, for the most part of the race, she was right behind us, and or really close to us. And that part there at the end, when we had our problems, she was right behind us, and she was actually helping push, making that second line work, which you know Grant can definitely attest to. That second line doesn't always want to work, and it was working really good for us. And you know, for her being only her second Daytona race, I think she was doing a really good job. She went where she needed to go, and she pushed when she needed to push down the backstretch. And you know, she had one of the few cars, you know, that I noticed that could actually do a little bit of pushing. Her, the 15 of Brett Hudson, the Will Kimmel number 69 car, they all did a really good job with the pushing. And you know, there's other ones you could tell that really did a good job with pulling. I know the 54 car, Cole Custer, he did a really good job. We followed him around a lot. And Sean actually learned some stuff from him. So it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That Cole Custer guy, man, he is going to be in the news a lot, I do imagine. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break here. We're getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to get this break out of the way. We'll be back.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. Canada Talks.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR, the location to vote for your favorite drivers.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
Danica Patrick,
Jimmy Johnson.
What shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio?
The Morning Drive,
Street Feed,
SiriusXM Speedway,
race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers,
and more.
Tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, now available online at SiriusXM.com and on the SiriusXM app for smartphones. SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life. Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
A blade rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
All right, buddy, I'm safe.
Connects to Share is a new mobile application designed to be a one-stop for all digital communication. Join the first social media network built for mobile and send private messages by text, voice, picture, or video. Build a private group for secure communications or public groups to build a following. Connects to Share even offers live streaming. Business accounts include access to the first ever e-shopping platform in a social media network. Go to connectstoshare.com. Download Connects to Share from your Apple or Google Play store for free today.
And we are back with you live from Daytona Beach Resort. I know we're going to be throwing it back to the studio at the top of the hour, get everybody up to date on all your scores and highlights, and then we'll rejoin you for hour number two here. But we were talking about the ARCA race. Pretty well got that in the rearview mirror now, guys. The Sprint Unlimited race was up next at Daytona. It was, needless to say, it was an eventful night. Did you happen to stay with the broadcast and finish watching that, Grant?
Yeah, I did. And I tell you what, they've played around with the plate packages a good bit the last few years, it seems like. But this style of racing, I really liked. So it was definitely a great race. It was definitely action-packed. A lot of lead changes. It was pretty good race, I felt.
Grant Enfinger, I can see Jim Hallahan and his wife stepping back out. You take it easy, Jim, and we will talk to you real soon. Jim Hallahan, also down here at Daytona Beach, getting ready to take in some races. Let's talk about the Sprint Unlimited race. We got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour, and then we'll continue the conversation. Grant, I believe I had just finished asking you, did you get a chance to watch the race, and what did you see?
I did, and I thought it was a great race. You know, they've played around with the packages with the Sprint Cup for a while, and they have it on the Super Speedway races right now. It was what I thought was a great race. There was a lot of passing for the lead. You know, not the tandem drafting, but there was some pushing and was a lot of excitement. So definitely a good, consistent three-wide race, and I felt like it was really, really good.
Yeah, lots of stuff got tore up. If you were in the market for some used parts, there was lots at the racetrack last night, Nick.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was in the garage for most of it, you know, loading up the ARCA stuff, and I saw a couple of the big wrecks, saw the little bit of the melee, but also, like Grant said, I saw a lot of really good racing. You know, it wasn't tandem where it was just two by two, you know, all about by themselves, and it wasn't single file, and it wasn't just one giant pack. It was old school, you know, super speedway racing is what it reminded me of. And, you know, by the time I got back to the hotel and got it turned down, I caught the last 10, 15 laps, and, you know, it was a good finish. It's what everybody wanted. It wasn't just, you know, the single file, 15 straight back and anything like that. So I think, like, you know, Grant really hit it on the head there. They figured the super speedway package out for the new Cup car. And as long as they keep going down that path, it's going to be a great Daytona in July. It's going to be a great, you know, Talladega. Every race is going to be great in the super speedway.
Yeah, it's going to be different. I can guarantee that. And from what we've seen just last night in the 25 cars that we've seen on the racetrack, the excitement is definitely there. It doesn't take much to get these guys out of shape, and it seems like as soon as they're out of shape, is there less rear downforce? Is that what it is, less rear right now, or is it increased? What is it that it seems to me, and it's just me, but they look more twitchy. It looks like they're not going to take as much of a maybe a side hit or anything like that before they lose
control.
They've
taken away a lot of the aero stability, you know, where they had everybody had made these things like a bullet. And, you know, it was so finite and it was so planted and, you know, everything, you couldn't do anything. And it was just, you know, that's why everything was so close, but it was so single file because everybody was so, you know, they were such in line with each other. So they took away a lot of that aero stability and it kind of makes them dance around, if you will. You know, kind of reminds people of when it was used to crab walk, things like that. So, you know, the air plays a big role. It'll push you. It'll move you around. Grant can tell you all about that, I'm sure. So, you know, it doesn't give them that safe feeling. They have to be up on the wheel. They have to be playing with those pedals. They have to be ready for anything.
Well, and if you're not, you're definitely going to find out where the infield is or where the end of the line is. Yeah, you're going to find out in a real hurry. We are getting real close to the top of the hour here. I just want to let you know that we are going to throw it back to Toronto, get everybody up to date on all the scores and highlights, and then we're going to rejoin you for another full hour tonight here on Sirius XM. We are at the Daytona Beach Resort Reflections Bar. You happen to be driving around, come on in, drop in. Beer is cold, food is hot. We're going to have another hour of fun. In the next hour, we're going to hear from Denny Hamlin, and we'll hear from Chase Elliott, and we're going to hear a lot more from Grant Enfinger. Want to talk to him about the truck race that's coming up Friday night. Throw it back to Toronto. We'll be back with you. Take it away, Nick. And welcome back, everybody, live tonight here on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. Come to you live from the Daytona Beach Resort Reflections Bar, right here, right on the edge of Daytona
Beach. Right on
A1A.
Beach.
It is
right
just
on the beach.
Gorgeous. We've got GMS, GM. How do you like that? GMS, GM, General Manager.
Yeah, it really rolls off your tongue well.
That is Nick Mauncher. We've also got NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver that is going to go out there and try and win another huge race at Daytona. We got Grant Enfinger with us here for the next hour. We're going to talk about the NASCAR Sprint Unlimited that took place last night. We were touching on that just before the break. We also had qualifying today, guys. You had to be either a mathematical genius or have your ear pinned to multitudes of different ways of getting your NASCAR information to figure out how qualifying was going to go for this year's Daytona 500. We did do single car runs today. And is there going to be group qualifying next? What is there, Nick?
I don't think we'll see group qualifying anymore. I mean, I could be wrong, and we may see it, you know, here and there. But I think the single car stuff's probably here to stay at Daytona Talladega. It's a little bit easier, a little bit safer, a little bit quicker. And it doesn't, you know, give all the crews, the drivers, the crew chiefs, the ulcers that they're probably getting just saying, oh, please, let us make it. Because especially here at Daytona, not only do you have to do qualifying, but, oh, by the way, then you got to go to the duel. And then, oh, by the way, you got to go to the race. So so it's just one thing after another, and you just sprinkle some practices in there, and it just makes for a really long week. So I think this is probably the safe bet.
You got to roll the dice when you're here at Daytona.
It's just like Las Vegas.
Yes, it is. You're real close to it. What are your thoughts? Single car run today, Chase Elliott goes out, and he is going to be on the pole for the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Tell me that wouldn't be exciting. That's your ultimate dream, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with Nick there on the single car qualifying. I think it's here to stay. So, you know, it's I don't know if it surprised anybody that that Chase was on the pole there, being in the quality of car that he's in. So, you know, all the Hendrick cars are really good anywhere they go, and especially here at Daytona and Talladega. So, pretty cool. Somebody I race late models with is out there making a name for himself like he is. So, it's good. I'm happy for those guys, and like I said, should if last night is any indication, it should be a really, really good race next Sunday.
From Denny Hamlin.
Back on.
We'll see if Denny is going to fire off here.
Attention span. That's all I can think of is, you know, obviously, by the way, has Joe mentioned he wants to win a 500 yet? Okay.
I started off with that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know what it is. I've gotten better at speedway racing over the last few years, and really learned a lot from my teammates. But I mean, realistically, you can go back and look at this race a million times, and had my teammates not stuck with me at the right times, we wouldn't have been able to stay up front. So, you know, similar in, you know, Kyle's championship last year, we all felt like it was a team championship, and we all played our part in it. I think tonight was no different. Without my teammates, I wouldn't be up here. And, you know, it's just a great team win from my standpoint. And, you know, what it is about this race that we've had success at, I don't know. You know, the last time, you know, we did win this, we had a great speed weeks in 2014 and finished second in the 500. So looking forward to it. You know, obviously our cars are very, very fast. And if you put them in the right situations, you obviously saw tonight what they can do.
Pretty amazing for Denny Hamlin. Four times he's gone out there and won that shootout. Pretty good for him. It's got to be one of those, whenever you can take a checkered flag, it's got to be an exciting day.
Confidence booster.
Yes.
You know, it gives him a confidence boost. It gives his team a confidence boost. It gives his pit crew a confidence boost. You know, we're going to Daytona. We have one win under our belt. Let's go win the duel. Let's go win the 500. Let's, you know, start this year off right. And we've seen it happen before. We've seen it with Gordon a couple years ago. You know, it's all about, you know, the mindset that they have. They clearly have a fast car. You know, their teammates clearly have a fast car. So it's how well they're going to handle themselves in practice, how well they're going to handle themselves to qualify in the duels, how well the pit crew is going to, you know, handle during the race day. So brings it all together.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Any surprise to see Joey Logano finish second in this race?
Absolutely not. You know, their team was, I felt like, one of the strongest teams overall last year. So looks like they're going to be strong again this year. You know, Daytona is its own animal. We'll really know the following week at Atlanta who's really got what. But really, you know, the strong teams were strong. So it was no surprise on my part anyway.
Yeah, pretty wild. Joey Logano did a fantastic job in last year's Daytona 500. You know what it feels like to win at Daytona. Do you go at it the same way? The 2 years you won in the ARCA series, did you go at those two races exactly the same, or were there slight differences between the 2 years with the same result?
You know, there was differences to how we approached the race. You know, me as a driver, not really. You know, my mindset was the same, but as we're preparing the cars and as we're, you know, at the shop working late and there was different mindsets going into, you know, 2015 as we did in 2014. So there were some differences, but as a mindset as a driver, you want to get out there and you want to win every race you're in, you know, so that part doesn't change at all.
Typical racer, right? Go, go, go. Win, win, win.
I bet you the only difference you probably had in 2015, Grant, was you had a teammate in 2015. You didn't have one in 2014.
We did. We had a really good teammate in Scott Sheldon, and he was actually able to push us to the lead a couple of times and vice versa. So we worked really, really good together. Like you mentioned, I didn't have that in 2014. So that was a pretty cool moment. And kind of like Danny alluded to, there is a pretty cool team win for us last year here.
It's all about the teammates. Next week, got three of them.
Three of them. Now, how is that going to work out? You got three different personalities, really, when I – see you, Grant, and I can. Spencer is the wild and crazy guy, and then you got Johnny Sauter, and Johnny is a very, very stern, straight shooter. He's old school racer, if you will. That is Johnny Sauter. I can see three totally different guys, and maybe with three different type drivers, it makes for a perfect chemistry. Maybe.
Absolutely, I mean, there's no better way to explain it other than that. You know. Every one of them is going to approach it differently, but they're all going for the same outcome. So it's all going to be how they do that, dealt their hand in the middle of that race, you know, how they start their race, how they go through that race, how they compose themselves if something happens. You know, are they going to, you know, going to lose their lid? Are they going to go crazy? Are they going to just, okay, let's do this? You know, there's so many different, you know, variables that plays into our sport that you can't control. It's all about how that guy with that helmet on holding that steering wheel, what he controls his end. Calm, cool, collected usually pays off. But sometimes you really want that guy who's just out there and he is just cussing up a storm on the radio because he is fired up. And other times you want people who have no fear, like Spencer, and just wants to go, 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 go. So I think the three of them together, even though they're all three different, they're all three going to play off each other. And that's going to lead for the best finish for GMS Racing.
At some point, who is the person on the team that is the calming factor? Who is that one? Are you the guy, Nick? Are you the calming
It's
factor?
Not me.
Not you? Do you have somebody like that on the team that is the common? Because even you, Grant, you're
a
very mild guy, but I can well imagine when things go wrong, I can see fire coming out your eyeballs. I can see, like, you
have no idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
It doesn't happen that often, but, yeah, I will get some fires in my eyes there sometimes. I'll get fighting mad. But really, to answer your question, for all three teams, the 21, the 23, and the 33, I put that right in the hands of the crew chief. So I got a good one in Jeff Stankiewicz. He's the common factor when stuff is going haywire. I know Spencer's got a good one in Jeff Hensley, and Johnny has a really good one in Marcus Richmond. So we're definitely, you know, have some really good players as far as that goes. We have some really smart guys in the shop, but also that calm in hand when you need it.
Yeah, don't hand me your watch, right?
Hey, I was there. I was part of that.
Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff, and it all happens at Daytona. We got to take a walk around here and see who else is in this bar. I know we've got some GMS people here. Champion, big company on board with you this year. Man, they've got some cool-looking products. Have you gone for a tour through Champion and had a look at some of the generators and different products that they make?
We have. Actually, me and Nick went out to the West Coast towards the end of last year and looked around. And really, the company is pretty amazing, especially for a company that hasn't been around that long. So they're definitely a pretty cool organization to be involved with. Really, really excited about having those guys at Daytona on Friday. They're coming in. So hopefully we can give them something to cheer about. But yeah, their products have been amazing. We've used their products with the race team for the last two or three years.
Absolutely.
As far as generators for warming the oil for the motors for every race. For GMS racing the last few years. So their products definitely work, and definitely proud to be a part of it.
And they got dual fuel generators.
They have dual fuel generators.
I know that for sure. And integral part of the win, right? You got to warm those oils up and get that car ready to go for the race.
I mean, it's every... We've used every part or piece that they make, you know, every component that they make. We have the generators to heat our fuel or our oil, excuse me. We have the generators that run our pit boxes. We have the winches in our trailers to help us load the car. We have the hoist in our shop to help us with all of our templates. We have the water pump out back to make sure that our creek doesn't overflow behind our shop. And we have every part of it we've used and. We've even used our log splitter. We had some downed trees. Hey, we need to get some wood. We had a log splitter shipped in. We used it. So, we've tried it all. It's all been very, very well, very tested. And it's big in Canada.
It is.
Canadian
it
is. Tire.
Absolutely. You can available at Canadian Tire in, Canada's number one retailer up there. We are going to take a break, guys. And when we come back, we are going to take a walk around. We're going to get Sarah to talk. We're going to talk to...
Just don't forget Heather there, too.
Heather over there, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get them talking. We're going to see if we can find out a little bit more here tonight at the Daytona Beach Resort. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, race fans. This is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. London Recreational, enjoy life to the fullest at home in your own paradise. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at dawsondental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit bobbleheadscanada.ca.
Hi, I'm Ron Bennington.
I'm Fez Watley.
The Ron and Fez Show on SiriusXM. Talks with the greatest minds in comedy and entertainment. Seth Rogen.
I feel like pot dealers are really taking a hit for society. Everyone wants weed, but no one wants to hang out with them.
Kevin Smith.
Once we sold Clerks, we were owned by Disney. Somebody would hand me a ticket with Mickey Mouse picture on the front of it, tell me my travel arrangements. Well, I feel like I work for a mouse. And I never regretted it.
The Ron and Fez Show. Weekdays at noon East. SiriusXM Comedy Hits 99.
Or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our flames rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
All right, buddy, I'm safe.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25,
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On SiriusXM.
Tickets are moving fast for the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 21st, and it's your one chance to be a part of the biggest race in a generation. The all-new Daytona is 31 million pounds of steel, forged by racing's greatest legends in the heat of battle for the most coveted trophy in NASCAR, the 2016 Daytona 500. Now, forever. Seats at the all-new Daytona will sell out. Guarantee yours now at 1-800-PITSHOP or Daytona500.com.
ConnectSecure is a new mobile application designed to be a one-stop for all digital communication. Join the first social media network built for mobile and send private messages by text, voice, picture, or video. Build a private group for secure communications or public groups to build a following. ConnectSecure even offers live streaming. Business accounts include access to the first ever e-shopping platform in a social media network. Go to ConnectSecure.com. Download ConnectSecure from your Apple or Google Play store for free today. Share life as you live it with ConnectSecure.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Everybody live tonight. Daytona Beach Resort. We are at Reflections Bar. Come on, Nick. Let's go for a walk here. I got Nick Boncher, the general manager of GMS Racing. We've also got our resident truck driver. He's going to be heading for Daytona. He's going to start practicing on Thursday, and then it's going to be full blast into the race on Friday. The next Era 250 is coming up, and Grant Enfinger is going to go for it at Daytona. It's going to be a lot of fun, but we got people sitting at the bar here. At Reflections, we're going to start going around here. What are you doing?
Having some dinner.
Having dinner. How is it?
It's really good, actually.
So food is good. Now, race week, you're here, of course, for the races.
Yes, I am. And to coordinate travel.
And coordinate travel. You've got the travel arrangements all done
travel
for everybody.
Travel guru.
Travel guru. That is saying a lot right there, a travel guru.
She helps make sure that the Daytona Beach Resort is the official Daytona Resort of the GMS Racing.
Really? Really? Now, as a race fan, take your travel expertise hat
guru
off. And strictly as a race fan, now, we won't talk GMS. Let's talk about Cup. The Daytona 500 is coming up. Who's your favorite for the Daytona 500? Who do you think is going to win?
Brad Keselowski.
The two car. That's a good pick. He looked fast last night. Did you watch the race?
Yes, I did.
Yep. And it was the two car. That's who you were taking?
Yeah, but, you know, if you win that, then you don't always win the 500. So you got to take it for what it's worth.
Take it for what it's worth. A little bit of trash on the grill. It caused him a lot of havoc, didn't it?
Yes, it did. He needed to get in there and get that off of there.
Yeah, he did, but he couldn't. If he bailed, then it was going to be too hard to get back to the front.
Caution came at the right time, didn't it?
That was a K caution. That's what that was, a K caution. That's what it was. In the truck series, we got a caution clock.
Yeah, we got a 20-minute clock.
In Cup, we'll have a K clock.
A K clock, I like that.
Yeah.
We'll get it sponsored by Keurig.
Keurig.
Yeah, for the K-Cup.
Sponsored by Keurig.
Got to have everything sponsored, so that's perfect.
That would probably do it. Grant? Friday can't come soon enough for you, I can well imagine. Thursday, when you look at the weather's going to be good. Is it ideal conditions, or would you rather be racing when it's like 55 degrees at Daytona?
You know, the cooler it is, the more speed you have here, especially the big track. But Daytona, the weather is always changing. So, you know, we may wake up and it may be really, really gusty, and by the time we race, the winds may calm down. So you really never know, and that's what makes it hard to test here, because you really don't know if you've picked up speed or if you haven't. It could be track conditions. But I am just anxious to get on the track.
If you get the wind, where is best for the wind to be blowing to help you out?
The tailwind on both sides.
So. Both sides.
Yeah, so blowing down the front stretch and then real quick turn and help me down the back.
Exactly.
When someone figures that out, we're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I can well imagine. When you get out there, you got, you know, 36. How many trucks are going to start this race? If we
32.
Determine that, 32 trucks are going to start the race at Daytona Friday night. 32 trucks out there versus, you know, less trucks. Does it create more havoc in the truck, Or is it actually better when you're in a pack, you maybe don't move around as much?
No, you move around a good bit in a pack, especially on the tricks. You know, everything happens a lot faster because they punch a lot bigger hole. So everything that happens in the draft happens a lot quicker and a lot more violent in the trucks. But it really provides for some really good racing, I feel like.
And as long as Johnny Sauter's around you or Spence is around you, the three of you guys are going to be able to work together. What number is Johnny? Number 21 this year. Spencer's going to be in the 23.
But number one in your heart.
And number one in your heart. What's Grant? What's your number going to be?
I'll be in the 33 this year.
The 33. The 33 truck.
So, 33 rolling.
Man, it's going to be
incredible. Really?
You shut your mic off. My mic is
You turned it off.
No, I didn't. I didn't turn it off. I'm going to have to move closer.
It's never your fault.
I know what it is. I know what it is. There's one antenna missing down there, and it's the one for this microphone. But that's okay. I digress. back to qualifying today. Front row, Daytona 500. We know the two guys that are going to roll the field to green. First guy is going to be Chase Elliott.
And did everybody see Jeff Gordon's face?
No,
TV?
I didn't.
When you know it was all said and done and they zoomed in on, Jeff couldn't have been any happier. He looked like he was about to jump up and down. He was so ecstatic.
Yeah, well, his car, right? His
exactly.
car, his team.
That's perfect for him.
It is the full team, too,
that
right?
That is the full team, yes.
Yeah, and you can't get much better than that.
The qualifying at Daytona, it is all about the team. So that's what makes this place special. And a driver can do what he wants, but it's about that team when you come to these big tracks like Daytona and Talladega. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Got a quick clip with Chase Elliott, pole sitter, youngest ever for the Daytona 500. Here is Chase in the media center after taking the pole.
Just such a, I think such a special day and a great way to start 2016 for our team. Daytona 500 qualifying day is such a, it's such a opportunity for the teams to really, I feel like, show what they've done in the off season and the kind of work ethic that they have and the amount of hours and the massaging that they put in these race cars to find those extra hundredths and thousandths of a second that are so crucial on qualifying day. So that's what it's all about today. I don't feel like it's about me. There's nothing special I did to earn it. It's about those guys and the kind of car that brought the racetrack. So that's the biggest thing I look at, and just excited to be a part of their race team and want to make sure I try my very best to do the job that they deserve.
You know, sounds like a crafty veteran. You can't even hear really the nerves or the excitement in Chase's voice with that clip, as far as I could hear.
Not at all. I mean, if that was me, I wouldn't know what to. I'd be jumping up and down, and be like, "Oh boy, I'm sitting on the pole for Daytona 500." But
yeah,
that's just a testament to how much he's put into this. How much he's focused on this. How long he's been working for this. He's been, like Grant said, they race super late models together. But before that, he's been groomed to do this. His father's Bill Elliott, so. Had he not done it the right way, he probably wouldn't be doing it. So I think he's all in for this year for sure.
And it says a lot about the team too, right? If you can get a guy like Jeff Gordon stepping out of a car, and I don't care who you put in, the expectation is going to be high, but really not as high as what the pole would be for the Daytona 500. And yet Chase has met that challenge, and he met it head on today. That's saying a lot for not only Chase, it's saying a lot for the team. He's going to gain a pile of respect from a lot of people, I would think, on getting the pole for the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I mean, overall, like I said, it's definitely a huge day for those guys. But, it's all about the car they prepared. And it is an organization, not just the 24 team, but as the whole Hendrick organization is brought really, really fast cars this week, which everybody expected as well. So definitely exciting. And like I said, just because he sat on the pole doesn't mean he's going to win the race, but it does, give them a lot more confidence going into the season, and puts them a little bit more at ease and able to focus on the rest of their job the rest of the year.
And Matt Kenseth on the outside pole, going to lead the outside row to green. Got a quick clip with Matt as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody says it, but qualifying here is truly a team effort. So from the aero guys to everybody at TRD making the power, and then Jason and the group for massaging that thing, they did a they did a great job. So, you know, it's funny the way this works. I was coasting around the apron and knew Chase was ahead of me and figured Junior was going to beat me because he was faster the first round and thinking, man, you're going to do all that work and qualify third. You might as well be 20th. So I was pleasantly surprised when he dropped in right behind us. And we've never qualified in the front row here before. So that certainly takes, I think, some of the pressure off for later in the week.
Real happy. Matt Kenseth focused again. Looked good in the Sprint Unlimited. The car looks fantastic. See the big Gatorade on the Absolutely. On the nose of the car. Looked kind of different, didn't it?
Yeah, it definitely did. So, but it's like he mentioned, you know, it does take some pressure off the fact that they don't really have to do anything in the duels. They know their starting spot, so maybe they can take a little bit less risk there and make sure they start the race with that car they qualified with, which, you know, the rest of the guys are not in that position. So they got to go for all it's worth. So definitely, like I said, being on the front row there, being able to lock in, that everybody else is still stressed out this week. Those two aren't.
Yeah, there's eight teams that'll be stressing out huge in between now and the Gatorade. Well, the Gatorade, here I go, showing my hair again. The Can-Am duel, but the
you
old
should get
Gatorade
the Can-Am
races.
Part right.
Yeah, I should. I should have Can-Am right on, right? But there's eight teams. Now, if you have missed everything about NASCAR and you missed the announcements that there is 36 charters now in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. We got 36 cars that are locked in each and every race. You have to have a charter in order to be locked in. We've got 36 of those. We're going to have four open teams or four open slots per race, and that includes the Daytona 500 in every race for the rest of the year. There's four open slots. How you fill those slots is you race your way in or you do it with time for this race, for the Daytona 500. So they're going to take two open cars from the fastest times. I don't know who those two are right now off the top of my head, but they will also take two from the Can-Am Duel on Thursday. So you've got four slots that are going to be filled with cars that don't have a charter. It has to be tense times when you've got eight cars trying to fill four spots.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but I think it's going to be just like in years past where your time will have locked you in, but it's going to be based on how everybody races in the duels. So if X car does better, then, hey, your time's now good. Like you said earlier, you got to be a mathematician to figure it out. You know, everybody just watches it for the fun factor, and you let, you know, DW and Mike Joy and all them guys figure it out for you on TV and put the little infographics up. But it's not speed weeks; it's stress week. Even if you are locked in, yeah. you're biting your fingernails. I mean, we're going to show up on Wednesday, and all three of our trucks are locked in, and I'll be a nervous wreck until race time.
Oh, yeah.
It's anything can happen at any given time, and it could be that 99-cent part. It could be someone else's bonehead mistake. It could be our bonehead mistake, you know. And it's Daytona. It's your first race of the year. You know, you have lots of guests. You have the whole shebang, and you want to make the biggest, best impression you can.
Well, with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, it doesn't get any bigger at this point of Speed Weeks than it does come Thursday for the Can-Am Duels. You want to make sure that if you're in the Daytona Beach area, you got tickets for that race. If not, you're going to tune it in to SiriusXM Channel 90 and listen to live coverage, MRN Radio, or cozy up to your Fox Television Network and watch Thursday's action. And really, you've got eight cars trying to fill four spots, and it flat out just isn't going to work. I hope she don't pick that phone up. Just flat out it isn't going to work. But we'll leave the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for what it is and where it is right now. We know Chase is going to start on the pole. We know that Matt Kenseth is going to start on the outside pole. Let's bring the conversation back into the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I got to ask you, Nick, you guys do a lot. You got three trucks built, ready to go for this race coming up on Friday night. Grant Enfinger is going to be in the number 33. You got Johnny Sauter going to be in the number 21, and you've got Spencer Gallagher going to be in the number 23. Are all three trucks built identical? Could you tell which one was which number as they rolled down the line? Do you build them to the driver? Are all three identical, or do you got three different pieces?
There's very few things that we probably let the drivers dictate. You know, they get to decide if they want a cooling box. They get to decide what kind of seat they want. And they get to decide usually what kind of steering box they want just for the quickness of the steering wheel. But for the most part, you know, our competition director, Mike Beam, he does a really good job of making sure that all of our trucks leave within the same square, if you will. So they don't necessarily have to be 100% the same, but they have to be right there. So if 23 truck has a problem and the 33 truck's really fast, they can run down there and say, hey, where you at? They're like, oh, okay, we'll switch it real quick. And they can have it done within 10 minutes tops. You know, it's nothing that you're going to have to change a complete setup, nothing you have to do anything like that. So, you know, the bodies are the same, you know, the builds are the same, and they have all run through the same setups at the shop, and they all have A, B, C, D lined up, and it's just a matter of which one they decide, the crew chief and the driver decide, hey, we want to start with this one. And sometimes, depending on where you are, you know, especially like when you go to Martinsville, a place like that, you're going to say, all right, this truck's going to do A, this one's going to B, and this one's C, and if it's just all out to lunch, we're going to go to D. And if then, we better just really figure something out. But, you know, that's just the beauty of having, you know, a big team and teammates, and we can just continue to build off of each other.
You know, I heard Roger Penske one time. He was speaking on this very subject on, you know, you got Brad Keselowski's cars coming out, the number two, and you got Joey Logano's cars rolling out. Which determines what's a 2 and what's a 22? And Roger Penske said there is zero difference between any of their cars. Everything rolls out of the shop the same. Put a 2 on that one, put a 22, it doesn't matter.
It's just a decal at that point in time.
Just a decal. And I guess that's and the, I guess the flip side to that, if you are off, you're going to be way off.
Exactly.
And you got no recourse. So it's kind of cool when you've got the ability to put out three different styles, if you will, of the same format. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of cool. When you guys nail it, look out.
It's all the same canvas. It's just where you put that paint on that canvas. So we'll go up. I can go up on Monday, and I can go up to our Levitt GMS, you know, chassis shop, and I say, I need three chassis. All three are going to be completely the same. They're going to be built by the same guys, and they could put them in a mix, and I'll have no idea which one's which. Same thing at the body shop. There's four different plates up there. Whatever one they get put on, whatever guys get work on, they're going to be the same. They all get scanned. They all get measured. You know, everything's exactly the same. The only guy who knows any difference is the body guy when he paints it, if they're even getting painted, you know, if they're not getting wrapped by decals, and then when they put the decals on. So it's crazy that, you know, some people think A is this and B is this, and, you know, some teams are like that and some teams are successful like that. But we found and we really want to build on that core team value because, you know, this is a team and we want us to all be able to work off each other. And, you know, like Penske's done that. RCR has been big in that. Everybody knows about that. I learned about that firsthand when I was there with Joey Coulter in the truck series, and sometime Austin's setup wouldn't work, so he'd put in Joey's and vice versa. And it's just a great thing to build on. So now we have three trucks that we can do it on. And, you know, there's even, you know, the Xfinity stuff. It's not the same by any means, but we can pick up things from it.
Yeah, and that's the key to it. What do you like in your truck, Grant, that maybe another guy wouldn't like? It's something that is really, it's got Grant Enfinger stamped on it. This is mine.
Is it Alabama sticker?
Just an Alabama sticker?
No, it's like Nick said, you know, everything that we pretty much put out of the shop is the same. And as we've started building our own trucks, that's becoming even more true. So, you know, as we get updates, you know, we find out what works and what doesn't. But like Nick mentioned, when we go to a track and one truck is doing really good and the other truck isn't, we're going to know what they have in it to make the other truck better. And that is an important part of, you know, it's one of the biggest benefits of having a teammate. So, you know, and like this week, more so than setup, all three trucks are going to pretty much unload the same here this week, I believe. But we're going to have that teammate to lean on. People, we can talk about how their truck is drafting differently than ours, and actually be able to work together on the track. So all that's going to be a huge benefit. And you know, it's not about myself or Spencer or Johnny. It's about GMS Racing. And you know, our goal as a team this year is to win races and win that championship. Whatever it takes. So, you know, all of us are going to work together in that effort.
Yeah, fill the truck with those hats from Victory Lane. That was kind of cool to see how many hats in Victory Lane with Grant a couple of years ago. Couldn't believe it. The whole team lined up and they do the woo.
They have a lot of hats.
Fire the hats into the car. And Grant said, make sure everyone goes through that window. Kind of cool, though. When you get back to the shop, it's full of hats, and you got the checkered flag to prove it.
Exactly. So there's definitely no better feeling than that. And like I said, that is the goal with GMS Racing. So whatever driver or truck number does it, it's going to be a GMS win. And like I said, we're anticipating a lot of wins this year. So. Hopefully we're up to the task. I think we are. And like I said, we definitely got some good crew chiefs on board. We got a great competition director in Mike Beam. We've got all of the pieces of the puzzle. We just got to go see how everything plays out.
We spent a lot of time tonight, of course, talking about Daytona because that's what is next. That's the whole focus of every race fan on the planet right now is Daytona and what is coming up. But I do want to talk to GMS, want to talk to Nick, want to talk to Grant about the rest of the season and get some thoughts down the road. There is going to be another race after Daytona. There's going to be a number of them, and each one of those plays part into the championship. If you're going to be the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion at the end, you've got to do every single race, and I know there's going to be lots more to come. I will ask some more questions of these guys when we come back talking about down the road. I also want to dive in a little bit to Grant's roots and how he started into this sport. He's made quite a name for himself. He's been a champion in the ARCA series. He's looking to be a champion in the truck series. And I want to find out how he's got to this point. We're going to answer those questions when we come back. We're going to hit our final break here tonight, and then we're going to come back live from the Daytona Beach Resort. We're at the Reflections Bar, and we're all live here tonight till the top of the hour, and we'll get those answers to those questions in mere moments. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Just imagine an app that has all your favorite features and functions in your social media networks without the rules and regulations that apply. It gives you a secure environment to communicate, to send messages, pictures, video, and live streaming. The Connects to Share mobile app is all that and more. The Connects to Share mobile app is custom designed for iPhone and Android and allows you to integrate your social media networks. The future is in your hands. Download Connects to Share.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Sirius XM's Radio Classics has dramas from the golden age of radio.
Shadow Node.
Escape.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
From mystery.
I know many strange tales.
Mystery is my hobby.
To sci-fi.
Countdown for blast-off.
Adventures in time and space.
Dramas from the golden age of radio.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
We're on Radio Classics, Sirius XM 82.
Come on in.
London Recreational has transformed backyards with custom-designed reinforced concrete pools and spas with features like self-cleaning systems, natural stone construction with fully tiled interiors, top-of-the-line equipment. Enjoy life to the fullest at home.
Heaven on earth.
In your very own paradise. Explore the possibilities and challenge our skills. We guarantee your backyard will be the envy of the neighborhood. Visit us online at londonrecreational.com. Speed Weeks 2016 begins right here.
Yeah, I'm excited about the year. Really glad to be in Daytona.
Join Racetime Radio Live for pre-race coverage from Daytona International Speedway.
Looking forward to getting in the car, actually turning some laps and mashing the gas.
All presented by Connects to Share. Share life as you live it. We'll get you set.
We can get away with what we can't get away with, you know?
Get to racetimeradio.com for details and to listen live worldwide.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
Dance to the light.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Words you don't want to hear when you're racing.
Our blades rolling up big.
Shut it down, get out of it.
But if you do, you'll need the ultimate in fire protection. For over 30 years, Leaf Racewear and Safety Equipment has been manufacturing high-quality, fire-resistant driver suits, undergarments, gloves, and shoes. With a full line of seatbelt harness systems, fuel your passion and confidence. Leaf Racewear ships worldwide. Get the ultimate in protection. Visit LeafRacewear.com.
All right, buddy, I'm safe.
Champion Power Equipment is a market leader in power generation equipment. Designed and engineered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Champion's product line has expanded to now include dual-fuel portable generators and inverters, home standby generators with whole-house technology, V-twin engines, winches, log splitters, and more. With over 2.5 million generators sold in North America, Champion is a market leader. For a full listing of products, visit championpowerequipment.com. Champion Power Equipment, powering your life.
As a public service, Racetime Radio salutes the folks back home.
Warm thoughts. Warm thoughts.
What?
It's a matter of mind over matter. I want to think real warm thoughts.
Now, live from Daytona Beach, it's Racetime Radio. And now, live from Daytona Beach, the speed capital of the world, it's Racetime Radio. And your host, Joe Chisholm.
And funny, funny guy. Thinking of all the folks back home up there in Canada. It was a cold day up there today, gentlemen. I know it was a cool day at Daytona if you're from here, but to me it was a gorgeous day. Short sleeves all day.
This is summer for you. We you and I talked about this, yesterday?
Yeah.
This is y'all summer. And
it is.
For us.
This is June weather. June weather. Not July. July is more like probably May here.
I guess I couldn't really say much, though, because in North Carolina right now it's like 20 degrees and there's an ice warning. So I'm not sure I'm going to get home tomorrow. But
well, I seen a tweet from Cameron Haley, and he said, initiation to the drive to Daytona, and he was driving through a snowstorm out the windshield.
Oh, I can imagine being from, he's up there in Ohio, it's probably 10 times worse. But
no, he's now in, I don't know whether it's Mooresville or Concord.
It seems like every year at this time, there's a snowstorm, an ice storm, some kind of storm that we have to drive through. It's two out of the last 3 years we've had to send our haulers early to make sure they got here. One year, they couldn't even fly out. The airports were done.
Yeah.
We had to drive.
Well, they actually borrowed the jet dryers from the Speedway to blow the runway off.
Yep.
I remember that. I was in the media center. It was media day. And I was talking to David Gilliland and I think it was David Reagan. The two of those guys rode together down to Daytona and just talking to them off without the microphone on. And I said, so how was the drive, boys? And they said, white knuckle. I'm not driving. You are. It was pretty wild. It was
you could see. You could see, going past Columbia, South Carolina, it was just convoy of minivans because all the teams had to go out and rent every minivan that was there. And we were just all driving about 15 miles an hour, and it was just snow everywhere. But it's funny because it's always right at the same time of year.
Yeah, and you and I are kind of used to the cold weather. I know you were from the Ohio area.
Why do you
got to
tell everybody that on air?
But a guy like Grant Enfinger,
from lower Alabama, has never seen
in Alabama. Snow. How many times have you seen snow in your life?
Pretty much the only times is when I've been up here in North Carolina. So I'm actually disappointed. I missed the snow a few weeks ago, and I'm going to miss the snow again when it comes tomorrow. It seems like every time I'm out of town is when we get the snowstorms. And because I haven't been around that much in my life, I kind of like it. So it's definitely doesn't happen very much in L.A.
I know I want to talk more about the season that is coming up because you guys got a full schedule that you're going to do. But I do want to ask you, Grant, about your roots. How did you get started in racing? A lot of fans listen in, and they really would like to know how a lot of you guys get your start. They could be running around short tracks today and maybe starting out. Maybe they started racing a year ago, or they're looking at starting now in a four-cylinder somewhere. How did they make it to the level in which you're at?
You know, truthfully, I got started as a race fan. You know, it wasn't like anybody in my family ever raced or anything like that. Just me and my old man loved to go to Talladega every year and did that with some friends of ours and would kind of go religiously every year and always had a great time. And it took me quite a while, but I talked them into buying a go-kart when I was at age 11. And then a few years of that, we went to the Legends cars and then late models and then the ARCA series and now here in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. So, it definitely hasn't been easy. It's been a very, very long road with a lot of downs to go with the ups there. So, I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity I have right now. You know, Mike Beam just came down a few days ago and told me I was running for the Rookie of the Year this year. And really just kind of, you know, just put everything into perspective. It's pretty incredible feeling to have the confidence of the guys here at GMS. You know, there's so many guys there with the foresight to make all this happen, but also the integrity to stand up and make something happen for all of us. And this year's about giving back to them. And like I said, it's not about one driver out there. It's about the whole team. And our job is to win races and ultimately get a championship for GMS Racing this year.
Yeah, and that's going to move you up the ladder. You're going to continue on your way up. But when you look back on your roots and on the start that you got, you mentioned go-kart, you mentioned Legends, late model, right up into ARCA. Which one of those steps was the most influential, if you will, in what we see today as a driver in NASCAR?
You know, definitely the Legends car is pretty much where I cut my teeth. The go-karts were extremely fun because that was something me and my dad did, but neither of us knew what we were doing. I mean, we were horrible at it. Didn't have a clue. But the Legends cars is kind of where I started taking it seriously and started spending every waking moment that I wasn't in school working on Legends cars and driving all around the country racing them. You know, from the time I turned 15, I'd grab my mom or my dad or a buddy and we'd hit the road and go racing. And, you know, we could pretty much take the same car and just change gears anywhere we would go. And I really learned a lot about myself and a lot about racing during that time. And I got to travel to Atlanta on a daily basis and Charlotte on a daily or weekly basis in the summer. And I really learned a lot from a lot of good racers. And that's where I decided, hey, this is what I want to do.
Did you have much success in those divisions? Like, did you get a lot of checkered flags, or did you get the odd checkered flag?
You know, in the go-karts, like I said, we struggled. I got one checkered flag in all our years go-kart racing. But the Legends cars were a little different story. We did go through, a couple of 3 years where we were really, really fast and got a lot of checkered flags in that and able to get you know, your track championships and you know, have our success there. And it was also another big learning curve when we went to the late models and in the super late models back in Alabama and across the Southeast. That was definitely a huge learning curve, and I still love running super late models anytime I get the chance, and kind of had to fight through some starting park opportunities and stuff like that when we got into the ARCA series, but ultimately it's definitely paid off, I haven't always been in the best of equipment, you know, is growing up, but definitely makes me very, very appreciative, and I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity I have here at GMS Racing, because everything we put on the track here is top-notch, and we showed that last year in the ARCA series, and Spencer and Brandon Jones showed it last year in the truck series, and I have no doubt, we're going to show it this year in the truck series as well.
Yeah, it's kind of cool when you get the right formula, and that's really what Nick here is all about, is putting that formula together. You've had the vision, and you've had the wherewithal to be with the right people to put the deal together, Nick. I know you were very influential in what we see as GMS. Spencer is an unreal driver. He's going to prove his talent this year. and he continues to make our eyeballs fly open each and every time he gets into that vehicle. It's kind of cool watching him in there, and I know it takes a lot of focus. That's something that Spencer, he's focused in on driving the wheels off the machine. You're the guy that's got to focus in on getting the wheels under him to drive.
You know, it's all about people. You said it right there. You know, have the best people around you, and don't be the smartest person in the room. And that's kind of our philosophy at GMS Racing. And it's just, you know, how can we build ourselves from within? How can we promote from within? How can we build from within and take care of ourselves from within? And, you know, that's what we've really done. And, you know, and you know, Grant hit on it there. You know, he thinks Legends Cars was the biggest for him, and it probably was. And it's huge. We have a couple kids at our shop. No, not kids, but they have a couple guys at our shops that are running Legends Cars. You know, that's the area. And, you know, and there's a funny story about Grant, and I think he just heard it the other day. When I was at Venturini Motorsports 10 years ago, whatever it was now, and I helped Billy Venturini start his driver development program with Joe Gibbs Racing at the time, you know, it was completely new. It's Grant Enfinger was on our list.
Isn't that? You know,
Grant Enfinger was top of our list, and he was running super late models. And I think it was the Rattler down there in southern Alabama. You know, it was, hey, we need to go check this kid out. We have to go scout him. And, you know, it was right there when we still could scout. We still had, you know, the opportunities to do those things. And he won the race. You know,
yeah.
Deathly terrified of snakes, by the way, but he won the race.
You know what? I think if I go back in the archives, I've got Grant from back then after winning that race. If I remember correct, Grant, I know you and I go back quite a ways. It was right back into the late model days when you were winning races and we're talking short track races. We get you on the program. I can remember back then. And to see you now and see the opportunity, you got
full circle.
It is, and you gotta have the talent to do what you're doing, and congratulations and hats off to you for making the best of everything to get the opportunity. So many guys will quit before they get to the point where things are going to start to click. They give up and they quit, and that's a true sign of somebody that shouldn't be in this game.
I can tell you, Grant Enfinger has never quit.
No,
it doesn't matter if it's 9 p.m., if it's 1 a.m., if we're driving somewhere, if we're going through the snow, if we're working outside in the rain, there's no quit there. But it's the way he is. It's the way he's wired. It's the way everybody at GMS Racing is wired. And that's why I think as an organization it's just clicked so well. You know, everybody fits that little piece of that puzzle. Everybody's that part of that puzzle. One guy's the centerpiece, one guy's the corner piece, one guy's this piece. But it all comes together, and we're all built around each other. And so, you know, 10 years ago, I see this kid named Grant Enfinger, and I'm like, who's Grant Enfinger? But, hey, I'm going to check him out. 2014 rolls around. Hey, Grant Enfinger needs help. He needs a ride. Well, let's get him over here, and let's build with him. And Spencer, what do you want to do? Hey, let's build with him. And let's build our team. And, you know, that and Joey Coulter and Max Gresham and Brandon Jones and the Dillon brothers, you know, that's just kind of helped where we are today. You know, it's all about our past leading in today.
Yeah, and it just continues to grow. It's going to be an exciting rest of the week. You can guarantee that. Want to ask you about the rest of the season because we are getting close to the top of the hour. It's a long schedule, and you guys have got to have three trucks prepared for each one. All three are going to run the full schedule, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Johnny Sauter is going to be out there, Spencer Gallagher, and, of course, Grant Enfinger. What tracks do you guys or do you have on the calendar circled going, okay, this is for this guy, this is for this guy, or do you do that? Every race the same?
Every race the same.
Every race
the same. Now, obviously, Grant, Johnny, and Spencer all have their favorites that they want to go to, but as far as a GMS perspective, every race is the same. We're going to win every race. It's not, you know, we might not be 100% there. We may not have what it takes to be there. You know, we may have this disadvantage. No, it's... we're going to be 100%, and it doesn't matter how we get to 100%. We're going to be 100% before we load, because when we unload, we better be ready to go, and we better have everything we need, and we better be at the top of that speed chart.
Are you superstitious at all, Grant, at all? Do you got a lucky charm? Do you do any of that kind of stuff, any feng shui for you?
I'm a little superstitious, you know, but kind of back to your last mention there. I've been blessed to be around some good people in my career, and I did learn from Mike Allgaier that the most important race is always the very next race. So you always take your best piece to the track. It doesn't matter if you've got you think you got a big race in the middle of the season, and you're halfway to that point. you take your best piece every time you go to the track. So, you know, as far as the superstitions, you know, I did get a couple of lucky pennies there last year. My wife, she'll maybe do one or two things, wear a certain outfit that she likes. And, you know, whenever we have a good outcome, she's got to keep wearing that. So, as a racer, there's so many things that are in your control, but there's so many things that are out of your control, too. So,
right.
So you do gain a few superstitions along the way.
Yeah, those lucky underwear, continue to wear them. You're going to need to do that. You know what? And we got to mention it right now. Happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day to everybody. My wife, Sue, back in the Racetime Radio studio.
Brain to the operation.
Missing my wife terribly. Tough trip because normally my right hand
right
is
here.
Right with me, right? And this year, for the first time, not so. So happy Valentine's Day.
Well, next
to you,
year, we'll
Sue,
get you guys
there.
A couple of Legion travel flights and we'll get you down here.
There you go. Okay.
Some Alamo rental cars.
I am with you 100% of the way. That would be fantastic. And we are getting close to the top of the hour. I want to remind everybody, we will be live again from Daytona International Speedway on Thursday from 2 till 4, again on Friday from 2 till 4, and then come Saturday from 10 a.m. until noon. Those are the air times. You can see them again at racetimeradio.com, but you want to join us, got to thank Connects to Share for coming on and presenting all of our live broadcasts from down here at Daytona. Connects to Share, get to connectstoshare.com, download the app. You'll see what I mean come Thursday. It's going to come in real handy. I'm telling you right now, it is the next big app. We know Twitter. We know Facebook. Mark my words, gentlemen. We are going to hear Connects to Share, and it's going to fit right into those categories with the big ones. It is the next latest greatest. Trust me when I say. And they do present all of our live broadcasts from Daytona. Got to thank Champion as well for coming on board and putting this all together, along with Daytona Beach Resort and Reflections GMS Racing. Man, we couldn't have had a show without you guys tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, I got a few people I need to thank as well. Mari Gallagher and Ron Booth for this opportunity, for sure. Champion Power Equipment and also the guys that are staying on board with us with Alamo Rental Car, Allegiant Travel, Worth USA, Triple K Construction, and Portable Shade. So without those guys, none of the rest is possible. So thanks to each and every one of them that got us here.
Nick, final word. You got 30 seconds, my man.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for you know, entrusting Grant and I with these microphones for 2 hours. A lot of people wouldn't have done that. So, but we look forward to Daytona this year. Thank you for all the fans and the support. Thank you for our crew guys back at home who are working hard. And let's go get them.
Follow GMS Racing on Twitter. Check them out on Facebook and definitely tune into the broadcast. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in on Sirius XM Channel 167. We'll catch you next time right here on Channel 167.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.